delighted to have you in the podcast where all stories are welcome and the masks come off. Hello, Aditya. Hi, and welcome to Soul Brews with Shiva. Thank you so much for joining me on Coffee and Soul. It's such a pleasure to have you. I see that you have your cup of coffee ready with you.
Yes, thank you. Thank you for inviting me.
It's an absolute pleasure, and I'm going to pour myself a cup of coffee as well. All right. Aditya, here's to you and to this wonderful museum that you've started, Camera Museo, and to long innings with this with these projects such as these.
Cheers. Thank you very much. Thank you.
So can I ask you to just pick up this cup of coffee, and if it's not too hot, can you just hold it between your palms?
It's hot.
It's hot. All right. Hot. So just breathe in the fragrance. Just breathe in the fragrance. And does it speak to you about anything? Does it bring back any kind of, what does this fragrance of coffee do for you? Does it do anything?
It's stimulating.
Yeah.
Refreshing. Yeah. And, yeah, it gets me going.
Yeah, sure. I see that. Is that the new coffee that you're drinking? Mark's coffee from Fig?
No, this is our own brew, which is some Thai brew.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Okay. All right. Wonderful. So Aditya, this is such a fascinating place. And as I was telling you before we got into this, it's striking the shot, what I'm seeing behind me. So tell me, how did Camera Museo come into being? What was the genesis?
You know, I keep telling people, especially youngsters, if you dream and dream really hard, sometimes your dream do come true.
Correct. Yes.
I'm also amazed, how did this happen? And a lot of government officers and people come here and say, how did you make this with the municipality? How did this happen? I said, you know, I don't know. Sometimes when I dream, and I dream very hard, and I just keep working. I just work nonstop. I put together a timeline. I always keep, you'll be amazed. I keep a diary where I keep jotting down. And I love I have something like 6 different diaries on my mobile, but I love the physicality of a diary where I can scribble, where I can cut and, just flip through it and see, have I done this? Okay, this happened. No. So this was an idea which goes back to my college days when I started collecting cameras and when I started getting assignments to travel abroad, I used to check out all the museums, and I said, I have an idea, but I'm yet to see a museum like that. Mm. And I was lucky to run into officers of the commissioners, joint commissioners, who listened to my ideas, and they didn't ask me to make any presentations to them. They didn't tell me, do you have a team? Do you have designers? I said, it's all here. And after 5-6 months of our conversations, they actually told the government, let's just give it a try. Let's just go ahead with this. And today, they can't believe that we have this fabulous place in Gurgaon. So that's why I say, I was lucky to run into such people who agreed and believed in my vision. See, it's the question is, and they believed in my honesty of delivering this. Mm-hmm. I sat here every day during the construction. It took me 17 months. And
wow.
I have images. I created a book out of that. Every day, I would shoot hundreds of images, and amazing. I would study the drawings with the contractor. And contractors actually asked me, sir, where did you learn this I said, no, I understand how to make a building. And there were days today, I mean, those contractors, they ran away from me because they said, we will ensure before taking any project in Gurgaon that you are not there because we don't want to get caught. Because they got caught in so many small rackets and manipulations which they do to enhance the project, to try and tell their government bosses, sir, we need more money. I said, no, you don't. Yeah. You're not doing it right. So, you know, there's somebody who makes you do things. So.
Yes, absolutely. There is somebody who makes you do things. Yeah. And so that somebody who makes you do things, what's your equation? What's your relationship with that? It's a very interesting turn of conversation right now.
I've never believed in gods and goddesses of any kind. Mm. My father was a South Indian. Mm. His name was actually Rao.
Okay.
He ran away from his family when he was 15, came to North India, studied in a Gurukul, and then he became a professor. And then he got married in an Arya Samaj Mandir. So he started writing Arya. And I got to know this when I was probably 12 or 13. I said, you know, how come we don't have a surname? What is Arya? So he said, oh, there's no need to write a surname and things. And because we used to do Havan and we never believed in any such form or, you know, that you have to go to a temple on this date, you have to pray. No, things happened.
Mm.
So,
And that things happened is something that seems to be the theme of your life. Is it true that things happen?
But firstly, things will only happen if you really want them to happen. Yeah. If you have a plan how they will happen. Mm. If you don't have a plan or a wish, how can things, you can't just sit idle and say, nothing is happening. Mm. I mean, those people who say, sir, nothing is happening, irritate me a lot. Why? Mm. I said, what have you done to make something happen? Mm. Or what is it that you wish to happen? Mm. Give me a plan. Mm. Give me, do you have a plan? Mm. I mean, what do you wish to happen?
Mm.
Oh, no, I want something to happen. I said, no, there is, you're not, define that something, please. Mm. Let's be very specific on that something.
Mm.
What is it? Because once you want to do hundreds of things which I wish to do, and I say life is too short, there's so much to do every second. Mm. I have no time.
Yeah. So how come cameras? How come cameras? Have you been a photographer? Has this been a passion with you?
Oh, I thought you'd...
No, I'm going to go as if...
40 years.
Yes, yes.
As an advertising photographer. Mm-hmm. I've never done a job in my life. I've never worked anywhere. I lived from day to day. I would look for assignments, make some money, move on, do something. But photography is the only profession which actually takes you all over the world.
Mm.
And there is a valid reason. Mm. Somebody pays for it.
It's a good reason. That's a good reason.
Yes. And it's something which, so it helps you see the world. So I worked in Russia I made many trips to Russia, shooting with the Bolshoi Theater. I worked and traveled through Germany, worked in Africa, shooting hotels for Oberoi's. I shot many hundreds of hotels for other companies, lived in these. I mean, those were the days when you traveled with film and you created these images. And that allowed me to interact and see people and places all over the world. Mm. Today, I can say that besides Mizoram, there is no state or a major town in India where I have not lived or worked.
Wow.
From know Ladakh like back of my hand, know Nagaland like back of my hand, worked in Andamans and Lakshadweep way back in '80s. I had done all that, and
amazing.
So I used
and
to travel.
always with the camera, is it? Always,
because,
always behind.
That's the reason.
Yeah.
That is, I used to sell these images to travel magazines. Mm. I worked in mines for companies for their annual reports, shot steel plants, automobile plants, worked with Modi Xerox, Modi Olivetti, launched all their products, worked in their factories. Hundreds of companies work with tobacco companies. So many things come to my mind is, so that curiosity to see and to learn, hey, how is this thing made? Mm. I mean, every time, whenever a new assignment used to come, I used to, keep my first half a day, one day is to try and understand the whole process, meet the people, then spend few days, few weeks shooting, shot food very extensively for many companies and many hotels, worked with chefs, some of the most accomplished chefs in the country.
So there's so much you have done. Have there been some things that you feel have been some major learnings in your life, some things that you know you feel that these are the moments that defined me, that changed me in this course of all that you did? Were there some that really stand out and you found they were life changing? It doesn't have to be big, it could be a small thing. So
everything has been an experience. So being a photographer is an experience which no profession in the world can give you. Every day you are in a different situation, because being a photographer, it's not repeat situations. You're trying to do something different every day. And but today, all those days are deeply embedded. I can tell you, oh my God, that town, what happened there? I was looking for dinner late at night and everything was shut and we had to go around looking for food. And so it's an experience of that's what I keep telling people. Photography is the only profession in the world which takes you all over, and the reason is somebody pays you. And even if somebody is not paying you, then those days whenever I was free, I would create my own assignments. So photographers have to be very driven people. Mm. Okay, next 1 month, there's nothing major happening. I'm pushing off to, say, Nagaland, and I'm going to be there for next 4 weeks. I'm just going to, no plan. I'm just going to bum around, live from village to village, travel. And I did that for 6 years. It culminated in a coffee table book. On the Nagas in 84 to 90. And so every day is a different day. I can't think of one isolated incident.
Absolutely. Tell me more about Nagaland. Tell me what, it's such a rich culture. And we know so little about it. What stood out for you about the Nagas?
After 91, I never visited Nagaland. And I don't wish to.
Really?
Why? The way I saw Nagaland, it was so pure. Today, people go to Hornbill Festival, which is absolute nonsense, where they do up all these. See, somehow, I shouldn't be saying, because it'll become very controversial, between the exposure to the Western world and influences of the church, the traditional Nagaland. I have pictures of those villages where each and every house was made out of bamboo. It was so eco-friendly. It was so nice. Today you have cemented structures. Mm. You have tin roof houses. Mm. Okay, you make all that development and being progressive, being modern, but they're not eco-friendly. Mm. The way they lived, the way they ate, and now it's becoming a concrete jungle. And this whole They're losing their own culture because they are told, and the whole, the way the Western culture is projected there, you know? And I can tell you, Naga music is so soothing and nice. Nothing can beat that.
You're transporting me there. It's amazing. Yeah, because it's your lived experience, right? So
yes, in 84, I attended 2 tiger feasts where tigers were killed, chopped and cooked in front of me. The last head hunting which took place, I was there, and in a district called Mon, a village called Chui, the Ang of Chui, the chieftain, his personal collection of few hundred human heads, because these guys were great head hunters. It used to be there, and I've shot all these heads in his display area. Everything has been buried and done away with in the name of modernization. And that these were bad practices. I mean, who defines this? Who? Nobody has any right to say that this was wrong or this is good. And so culturally, many things have been taken away from them. So, you know, but what I was able to create, photographers are very, they play a very critical role in creating visual histories and archives. And I firmly believe what photographers leave behind are far more valuable than the written word, which is always somebody's
perception or imagination or their subjective point of view.
While photographs allow everyone to interpret them and say, hey, this is what I see in this picture. It makes everybody a participant, not just a reader of somebody's thoughts or imagination.
Absolutely. Yes. Yes, that's so true.
Visual histories created by photographers have to be preserved. Unfortunately, that's not happening right now. And that's what I'm trying to do.
That is what you're trying to do. Exactly. Are you also speaking with or working with people or children or students to enhance their photography skills or give them a sense of what it is to be behind the camera?
So photography is one of the world's biggest democratic form of expression today. Your maid, your driver, you, everybody is communicating through photographs. So now, see, try and understand the role of photography. Everybody's trying to create, convey something through photographs. So they become very... So today it's a visual language. When you say, I like to have this in the background, I like to say this, it's a statement. So we started, we keep doing program with underprivileged children. And so around the museum, there are a few urban villages.
Okay.
Like Chakarpur in Gurgaon and Nathupur in Gurgaon. I actually was able to speak to Apple, iPhone. And okay. iPhone have donated 15 iPhones to us. Wow. And we give this to these kids on weekends. And we talk to them about exposures, composition, the art of storytelling. And then they go out in the morning and they come back in the afternoon and we evaluate their images. We try and interpret them. So we've done lots of these sessions, which is fantastic because the kind of perception, the kind of storytelling, because why do they see something like that? So then he'll try and explain, sir, this guy is this. That's why I've shot him. ये काम करता है, and मुझे बहुत अच्छा लगता है जब ये काम करता है. So similarly, just before lockdown, we actually collaborated with a property in Shekhawati, Mandawa. And they said, okay, this is very interesting. Their owner had come here. We would like to do this program with our village children. And he identified 15 children. We went there for a week and we stayed with them. And every day the village children actually used to go around shooting. And we used to do a critiquing session with these kids. And next day again, they would go do portraits and somebody would do graphic pictures.
So, amazing, yes.
So it's why do we give them phones from our side? Because see, today everybody has some kind of phone or the other, but we want them to talk one language, so that's why we say, okay. And iPhone was, when they heard this, they said, oh, we'll give you the latest. I said, look, I'll be happy with your old generation. They said, no. So they gave me 15 iPhone 12s, which we give these kids. And these kids couldn't believe they're working because the clarity of the iPhone 12 and the... and that gives them a very... That empowers them.
Yes.
You know, these guys trust us to these things.
That is so powerful. That is so powerful. Because not only are they learning a skill or exploring that, a sense of self that is building. I think that is priceless.
And even if I'm not, I don't want them to become photographers.
Yes.
You are just empowering them or opening their minds towards something.
Yeah.
The art of seeing. That's enough.
Yes.
I don't want to say that I produce so many photographers or no, that's not needed. Let them imbibe, let them taste many things in life.
Yes, yes. The art of seeing, absolutely. And having the eyes that see.
Yeah.
And that's a very noble cause, particularly in the kind of scenario in the world that we live in today. You were talking to me a little bit about analog and digital. and I'd love to hear a little more about that, Aditya.
I'm from the analog generation.
So am I.
I think so.
So am I, yeah.
So let me ask you a question.
Yeah.
You have seen today's digital cameras and... So every digital camera has a button.
Yes.
Which is not there in any of the analog cameras. Can you tell me what it is? Because for me, it's that button which has destroyed photography.
The button. The button is, it goes off. So you have to press it to bring it on again. For me, that's the thing that comes in the way.
So for me, it's a button called delete. Delete has destroyed the way photography has evolved. Why? These cameras gave you one opportunity. They had only 36 exposures or one glass plates. You had to think, you had to pre-visualize and create an image. While the delete gives you endless opportunities to keep on making mistakes. Delete's button allows you to step back constantly and redo things, while analog only allows you to move forward because the film goes agay. It can't be rewound.
That's fascinating.
So fascinating. In life, how the delete has actually shifted people's thought is like typewriter. People used to think, or while writing or composing a letter, you would have thought, a flow of thought, and you write. But today you go on the computer and you can always, Word allows you to cut, paste, delete, which analog did not. Mm. So your thinking process and your thought process changes.
Absolutely.
So the purity of analog is what I love, and encourage people to
yes, to follow that. How do you find people are ready to do that, or do they are they
So we are conducting workshops, teaching people in our dark room. Yesterday we had a fantastic, last 2 days we finished, we had 3 participants. We just do this with very limited participants because it's a very hands-on and interactive thing. We give them a roll of film, we give them a Nikon camera or a film camera to shoot. Then they actually process the film in the dark room, and then they make silver prints, and then they say, oh, wow, this, I spent 2 days and I've just been able to get 2 pictures, right? So, you know, it's a very slow, immersive process. While today's generation is in a great hurry. It's like you press the button and you have 4,000 images go cut, 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 cut. While analog was, hey, let's just think. Because every time you press is going to cost you 7 rupees, 3 rupees. So there was a cost attached to that.
Correct.
Which actually forced you to create more meaningful pictures.
Yeah, because every shot mattered, I guess.
Every shot mattered.
And now it doesn't. Actually, for me, when you're talking about this, is this slow, immersive process. A lot of, as I find, I don't know what your thoughts are on this is, when you think about what's happening in the world, there is a pushback, like in the sense that we have slow food, we have generally slowing down of life, and perhaps this is also a way for us to learn how to slow down, to get back into connection with oneself as one sees things. And what you seem to be talking about, it's almost like a meditative experience. You know, it's very immersive, as you said, and I think that is beautiful.
Some people ask me, oh, what's the difference between this and this? So I said, well, I mean, there are 2 ways you can have noodles. You can have a 5-minute Maggi noodle, or you can have a dish which is a cuisine where there'll be ingredients and many things. Or you can have 5-minute Maggi noodles. I mean, either way, you are having noodles. Decide which way you want to go. Or the worst case scenario is you can have a good wine, or you can have a Tarra to be high. You can have a bottle of country liquor and I'll give you a kick in 2 seconds flat. And so what do you want to enjoy? The process or the point? Where do you want to reach?
Yes, exactly. And how do you want to reach it?
Absolutely.
Yeah. I mean, there are some questions that I would ask, but you're in your conversation itself talking to me about your metaphor for life, for example. And I'm hearing it as you talk in the way that you live and the way that you have lived. Is there something you believe you could have done differently, Aditya? I don't mean it in terms of regret. As you reflect on life, and you've had such a varied amount of experience.
I never think about the past. I like to move on. I like to say, okay, every day is a new day for me. I have a plan for every day. Today I'm going to do this, and this is, and I just come and I said, okay, now let's just start doing it. You know, it's so exciting to have a new day every day. And I like to do things for future. I don't...
Interesting. What do you mean by that?
I'm a farmer also. So I always wanted to be a farmer and a photographer.
Okay.
And couldn't afford to be a farmer in the beginning. But by the time I was 35, 36, I bought my first farm.
Okay.
And I took my kids, made a house there.
Where do you have your farm?
It's in Gurgaon, very close from Gurgaon. And I planted 100 trees. Today, some of them are 40 feet, 30 feet, 50 feet. And this is, so I created a mini jungle. So When I say you do things for future, I keep telling people, intelligent people should do this for today and this for the future. Mm. It's like you keep laying stones and
the foundation.
Foundations for future. Mm. And forget it. Forget it. Don't, I mean, this collection of these thousands of cameras did not happen overnight. It was 30 years, 40 years I started collecting. And it's so everything is a process. Mm. Don't wait for the results. Mm. The problem is, my problem with the present generation is they expect far too many results in
very short time.
Short time, and with this kind of inputs and why, you know, sir, how fast can we do this? Mm. That fast forward mood, maybe because we are from the analog times, things were slow, the processes were slow. Mm. I mean, today life is in a really fast lane and things are happening at super speed, and but we are used to working at a certain space, which was very good, but also laying foundations, many things. Mm. It's like one day I ran into an old man and he said, you know, you're a farmer, remember one thing, do plant many things. Don't depend on one crop, plant many different things. And they keep juggling between many things. And that's what I keep doing. You have to do many things. And I said, that's where multitasking, the art of multitasking, which is really not, when you say, when I talk to these kids who come here for jobs or internship, they say, sir, can I do one thing? This will be lots of things. I said, can't you just slot them into various boxes and say, okay, I am going to be doing this, 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 this is the box I'm going to take out, and this is the box I'm going to play around with, and for 2 hours, and I'm going to dump it here, do something else just to keep yourself going. I just play around with many boxes.
Yes, I see that. It's a stay stimulated with so much that life has to offer.
Yeah, don't get stuck with one box and say, I'm working on it. No. You may get bored. Just dump it for a little while and look at some other box. And,
So Camera Museo, how, I know that the lockdown hit hard, right? Very hard, I know. What are the challenges right now? And what my viewers, my listeners, how can we support? What can we do? What are some of your challenges?
The challenges are, the first wave of COVID hit us 5.5 months after opening. And we were shut for under lockdown for almost 5 months. Mm. So with no revenue for 5 months and a backlog, which we were hoping to make up. Mm. So again, we had a huge outstanding. Then the museum, we started last year in August, September, October, November. It took 4 or 5 months for people to get comfortable to start visiting. We used to get 4 visitors, 5 visitors, 6 visitors a day. And by December, January, February, we were getting 3,000-4,000 visitors in a month. Okay, things were great. And we were like, okay, now this year we've got it. We'll be able to pay for our electricity bills, which are running into 30, 40 lakhs, and we'll be able to pay people properly. The second wave, the second lockdown came.
I know, my God. Mm.
So again, we had to let go all our staff, and see, museum is a place which has to be looked after every day. Mm. Objects should be clean. We have to maintain a certain humidity level in the museum. Mm. Why? You cannot have high humidity. It'll spoil all the, it'll create fungus on the objects. And so many things come into, air conditioning has to run every day for a few hours. I mean, your costs are still going up.
Of course.
And with no revenue coming in, We've reopened 10 days back, but again, now the accumulated effect of the first lockdown and the second lockdown, and now also constantly thinking about the third wave. I don't know. I'm writing letters to the government every day. Please, what are we going to do with this? You know, it's like another problem. You always dream of owning an elephant, and one day somebody gives you an elephant and says, shit, how am I going to feed this guy? There is no money to feed this guy.
Yeah.
So, you know, these are the challenges which we are facing. We are looking for reaching out to corporates. Give us some funding. Try and put your name inside the museum. We got to keep it alive.
What kinds of things can people do to keep it alive? How, one is the funding, but towards what? Would it be?
So one is a direct funding, which is we are eligible to ATG and FCRA, all kind of, we are a registered charitable trust.
You also are an FCRA?
Yes. Okay. So this was my idea. Once you go, once you're not there, so there's a trust to look after everything.
Yes, yes.
So I did create a trust 11 years back, and, you know, so I did try and create the whole thing. The idea of the museum will carry on even if you are not there. And then we were able to I was very lucky. When I was thinking of the museum, some people walked into my, and they called me up. They said, what are you planning to do with all this stuff which you collected? They said, I said, one day a museum. They said, oh, come and talk to us now. And when I spoke to these commissioners, they said, you know, we like your idea. Similarly, I applied for ATG and it got rejected because my CA called me. He says, you know, there is this income tax inspector who wants to be looked after. I said, sorry, I can take his picture. He said, no, picture to bilkul nahi leni uski to.
Woh ek cheez hai.
Come to you to get himself photographed. So I said, okay, apply again. He applied. So then they sent somebody from the income tax office, and this guy went back and gave a report. And I got a call from the commissioner income tax. You know, report is good, but I don't trust this. Did you meet him? Did you talk to him? Did you try and influence him? I said, no, I didn't. He came, I showed him everything. He saw my museum in the basement of my house, the collection and everything. And he sent another inspector who gave a fabulous report. So much so, the commissioner called me. He says, it seems there is something hanky-panky going on with you. You're trying to influence my inspectors. Where are you just now? I said, I'm at home. He said, I'm coming just now.
Wow.
So his office was very close to my residence.
Yeah.
And he came and he sat down and he says, I love all this. Can I call my family to see this? He called his family and we had coffee and tea. And then he says, so when do you want your exemptions? I said, sir, no hurry, whenever. He called up his office. He said, I'm reaching. Make sure in next 20 minutes he gets his letters of exemption.
That is amazing. So, an idea whose time has come, and your complete commitment and clean commitment to this. That's the result.
Sometimes I've run into these people who, if they see that your intent is right. I mean, I have put my lifetime's earning into this idea of the museum. And I mean, if my father and mother, I mean, if they were alive, they would have been shocked to, you know, to what have you created, because, you know, they came from, my father was a lecturer and mother was a school teacher. They could not have imagined that this kind of magnitude, this magnitude stuff could have happened. And so sometimes you just have to have an idea.
Absolutely, and more power to you, Aditya. I do hope that, you know, we can find ways that you were telling me about the different kinds of things that can happen. And I'm
so we have a wall. I must tell you, we have a fantastic donor's wall right at the entrance where anybody who gives above 25,000 rupees, his name is inscribed there as somebody who supported the museum.
Sure, sure.
Because I believe these kind of places have to be supported by people also.
Yes.
So we are one of the biggest crowd-funded museums.
Fabulous, fabulous. I'm so happy to hear that. I believe each individual, Aditya, has something very unique to offer to all of us as humanity. You already have it because you have the eyes to see. Besides that, what is it that you feel is your gift to people?
I'm a doer. I do things. I just plunge myself. I take the jump and I said, let's just do this. And let's try and convince people that this should be done. And to me, these anything needs somebody who's a doer, who says, okay, so people have ideas, except they have great hesitation in taking the jump, leap, plunge, whatever, and or convincing themselves that they can do it. Mm. That's the way I believe. It's at the most, you will make some mistakes, and everybody makes mistakes, but you have lifetime to correct those mistakes.
Absolutely.
At least just do it once.
Yes, that's right. Absolutely. You know, this has been such an amazing conversation, and I'm so delighted to have hosted you, Aditya. Before we close this, is there anything else you'd like to say?
I'd like to invite your viewers to the museum. I'm here and I'll be happy to do some small groups and tours of the museum and take you around and show you how actually photography evolved since 1850. And so please come over, visit the museum.
And certainly. Support the museum. And support the
museum.
Absolutely. Thank you so much. I hope we're all listening and we'll be here to come and see this marvelous, phenomenal work that Aditya has done and to see the museum and to understand his passion and what his passion has produced. Thank you so much, Aditya. It's been an absolute pleasure to host you. And I hope the museum goes from strength to strength.
Thank you very much.
Thank you for your time.
Bye.
Thank you for your time and attention and for being a part of Soul Brews with Shiva. Until next week, keep the coffee swirling.